perhaps the purest of the drugs in terms of inhibiting the VEGF pathway, therefore, is bevacizumab, which just binds the ligand, and it does so with a lot of specificity and doesn't have much in the way of, quote, off-target effects. And bevacizumab has not been as well studied in renal cancer as sunitinib and sorafenib. The initial studies were small, and the data was not sufficient to be brought forward to the FDA for licensing. But we'll see in the next 2 years two large phase 3 trials coming out, one that will be presented at the 2007 ASCO meeting from the European investigators that looks at combination of bevacizumab and interferon compared to interferon alone in advanced renal cancer, and another one that's a placebo-controlled trial with a progression-free survival endpoint, and another one that hopefully will be presented in 2008 ASCO from the United States Intergroup, looking at the same design except no placebo and an overall survival endpoint.
What about trials looking at bevacizumab alone?
The initial trials, and I think this is a trial that sort of got people excited about inhibiting the VEGF pathway in renal cancer, and I think the results of this trial, even though they were published in the New England Journal, were underappreciated by a lot of people in the field as they got excited about the oral tyrosine kinase inhibitors, was a study done by Jim Yang at the NCI surgery branch that took patients who had previously received interleukin-2 and had disease progression and randomized them to either placebo, low-dose bevacizumab, or high-dose bevacizumab. And in about 100 patients, about 35 or so per arm, there was a significant prolongation in time to progression for the high-dose bevacizumab arm compared to the placebo arm. And about 10% of patients exhibited true partial responses. And that, I think, showed not only that bevacizumab had activity, but inhibiting this pathway would be useful in renal cancer. People didn't explore that enough because the response rate was lower than probably is actually accurate. And the time to progression used the older WHO criteria. And so it was shorter. It's actually in a stricter version of the old WHO criteria, and so it was shorter than would have actually been seen if the same criteria were used as have been used for the sorafenib and sunitinib trials. We now know from first-line trials with bevacizumab and a trial that was performed comparing the combination of bevacizumab and erlotinib to bevacizumab and placebo that the median time to progression for bevacizumab alone is about 8.5 to 9 months, and that somewhere around 15% of patients will get tumor shrinkage.
You were talking about the mechanism of action of bevacizumab, but at least in breast cancer, I've seen some research looking at VEGF receptors on the cell and speculating that maybe there's a direct effect of bevacizumab. Has that been looked at in renal cancer?
It's been looked at only briefly. There's not too much evidence that there's a lot of VEGF receptors on the tumor cells. And when you look at in the animal models and you look at actual histology, what you see very quickly is a loss of vasculature within a couple of days even after bevacizumab is administered. So it's quite clear that at least the initial target is the blood vessel.
Now, what about so-called VEGF trap? What is it and sort of where does it fit into this biology?
VEGF trap is a manufactured molecule that involves two components of the VEGF receptor linked to an IgG antibody and supposedly is 10 times more potent in binding VEGF than bevacizumab and potentially, therefore, could be a better angiogenic inhibitor. For reasons that I'm not privy to, the studies with this agent have been incredibly protracted. And as far as I know, there's no pivotal trial even been launched with that agent in renal cancer as yet. And the field is getting more and more crowded, so it'll be harder and harder to do that trial over time.
But it sounds like a similar mechanism of action as Bev.
Binding VEGF in the circulation.